step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 333. I'm Lisa Sheps, along with my co-host extraordinaire, Miss Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Okay, we are back. It appears my little CD did not work, so we're just going to sort of rock and roll it.
I can rock and roll it.
Oh, I'm going to turn on your microphone.
Rock and roll it.
Okay,
for you.
Well, listen, let me just tell everybody that it is Wednesday, October 28th. On the show today, we have the Austin Theater Project and their production of the Rocky Horror Show. And also a little later on, we're going to have City Theater and their production of the musical comedy Murders of 1940. It seems just like yesterday. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York and Chicago, of course, in Austin, Dallas, Detroit, and Tierra del Fuego. And this is what you would have heard had it worked.
It's been years now since I've seen her face, heard her footsteps.
And at this point, I would have brought the music down and said everything I just said before, but
I thought the CD just wasn't working at all. It was just an operator error.
Well, no, it wasn't reading that. I had to change CD players because that CD player didn't like that CD.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool. You could fix it.
So we're now operating on one CD player. Nicole, I am checking in with you. I feel like it's been 2 weeks since I've even seen you.
It has been a while since I've seen you. We've both been so crazy busy.
How are you?
I'm good. I went to Houston and I had dinner with the Texan football team.
Well, there you go. That's
I am
good.
A happy girl.
How many Broadway show tunes did they sing?
There was no Broadway show tunes.
Okay,
going
well then
on.
Let's talk about something else.
I sent you news about NFL and
yeah, I didn't.
You didn't even read
did,
it. See,
did not
there
open
you go.
It.
And it was
go.
Musical and show tunes.
Yeah, didn't open it. No, you sent me stuff just moments ago, and I wasn't.
No,
able to
I know. Sent you about Eddie George joining the cast of Chicago. He's already done Julius Caesar and Othello.
Yeah,
so
I didn't care about that.
I sent that to you two days ago.
I know, I didn't care about it. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I was bringing the NFL and musical theater
like
together
to,
for you.
I would like to thank very much our newest member of the co-hosting team.
The Coco Co-Host Club.
Ms. Christine Huang, who did just an awesome job with
she
you.
She really did, and she had a lot of fun, too. She was so excited. Yeah. I asked her, and I'm so glad she was able to do it.
Yeah, it was great. And she was invited to go see Evita at Zach and just had the grandest time.
Yeah, she went last night. She was she was excited. She was great.
So,
she could come back and co-host with me anytime.
So I called her and I was jealous because I haven't been able to see Evita yet. And I guess I was choking back a tear and she said, Lisa, don't cry for me. That's going to be the trivia question next week. So once again, and also thank you for last week, Tracy Schultz, wonderful engineer.
Tracy rocks.
He's
I
become
love
part
him.
Of the team as well.
He has, and I love that he, just as an engineer, he does get involved and excited about musical. I mean, he left talking about Joseph walking out
jumps
of here.
Right into it.
I love that, Tracy Schultz.
Joseph Sharpenstein or somebody else?
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor
Dreamcoat. I know, I was making a joke.
Oh, okay.
Okay, never mind.
I was looking at you like, what? I was slow on that.
I want to remind folks that we will be back again this week with Backstage at Offstage.
Very exciting.
Those of you that are listening on the air should definitely get onto the podcast.
Because
that's where Backstage happens.
That's where it's happening.
That's what happens. So Backstage at Offstage is where we get to learn a little bit more about our guests and who they are and what makes them tick.
The inner workings.
Yes, the inner
of an
workings.
Actor.
The inner workings of a theater professional.
Tracy Schultz is waving to us through the window. Oh,
there
by
he
the way.
Is. He just You know what? He's waving to us because he's on the 40-second delay.
I know. He's hearing us 40 seconds later. And he's bowing and he's waving and he's going to hear us talking about that in a second.
Yes, he is. So it's all going to be about Tracy Schultz today. Anyway, but it's not. So folks can see to get our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. They can also get us... God, there's another way they can get us in there.
The best way to get us, Lisa and Nicole, get delivered right to your mailbox.
Right into your mailbox.
Don't have to go searching for the podcast. It comes to you.
Yep, by going to offstageonair.com and signing up at the little box at the top.
Yeah, you just have to enter your email and hit the button to click and yep. It happens.
So let's say hello to our guests.
Yes,
shall we?
Full exciting house.
I'm going to start with David Blackburn at the back, and this is the way I can test the microphone to see if it works. Say something, David.
Something, David.
It works.
Yay. I liked how you were holding it a second ago, like you were ready to rock out.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I'm ready.
Welcome back, David. Jim Lindsay's here. Where are you, Jim? There you are.
Hi, Lisa and Nicole. Thanks for having me back.
Hello.
And Kurt Kelso.
Hello.
Who I wanted to purposely mispronounce your name, but I decided not to. Daniel Klein, welcome.
Well, hey, thank you.
And saving the best for last in the Rocky folks, because you're new to the show, you've never been on, and I didn't ask you how to pronounce this ahead of time, so let's see how I do. Becca Safarian?
Yeah, that was great.
Excellent. I did it. Yay, I'm so proud of myself. And from City Theater's musical comedy, Mr... That show is Amir Murabak. Darn it.
He is just like, yeah, whatever, lady. Why don't you say it for us?
Amir Mubarak.
Mubarak. Yeah, I had it right
you
before we went on the air.
Mubarak going before.
You did. You had it perfect.
I did. I was just all on, you know.
She was testing you to see if you knew your name.
All right. So here we go. We've had a couple of openings this week.
We did. I didn't talk about the gin game last week, though.
Well, we won't be talking about it today.
Yeah, just let you know.
I think, you were supposed to talk about it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you blew it.
Totally forgot.
You're fired. But the gin game opened, and that's with James Earl Jones and...
Cicely Tyson. It's a trip to beautiful Pippin.
But Dames at Sea... opened on Broadway for the very first time ever. Which is pretty amazing. And I know Jim Lindsay has done Dames at Sea.
I've been part of Dames at Sea. Yeah.
I love the music in that show.
I've done the music in that show.
Yeah, I think, David, you and I have had a conversation about how awesome the music is.
It's awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have never seen it. I know nothing about it, but it got lackluster reviews.
It got, like... some mediocre, some thumbs down, ugh, and then a thumb up. It was all over the map of what people felt about it.
Yeah, and this is with songs, a bunch of pastiche songs, which is, pastiche seems to be the word of the decade for theater songs now. So pastiche, of course, is music that gives homage to other types of music. Would that be correct, David?
That would be very correct,
yes.
Lisa.
Thank you. And this is the songs are by Jim Wise, who wrote the music, and George Heimshon? Don't know his name. Heimshon. And Robin
isn't
Miller.
Isn't it Heimshon?
Heimshon. I don't know. I can't pronounce it. But here's a question I have for those of you that know the show, which I don't. One of the popular songs here is Broadway Baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Not the Broadway Baby that I know.
No,
the
it
song
is not.
No.
It's also a guy's song. It's not a girl's song.
Can't you, isn't there some sort of copyright thing where you can't name the same thing, the same title?
I think you're thinking of equity rules and... people's first and last names.
I'm a little upset.
There are multiple songs out in the music world by artists that all have the same
song.
Well, if I were ruling the world, it wouldn't be that way. So the way that Charles Isherwood describes it is a pert spoof of the 1930 movie musicals. And he said the director and also choreographer is Randy Skinner. He had so many dance breaks that he found himself pining for a break from all the breaks.
He just doesn't like musicals.
That's absolutely untrue.
Whatever.
He likes musicals.
Well, then did he see American in Paris? Because that's like a dance break after a dance
dance break with a show inserted.
That's different. Right? That American in Paris is about, it's about the dancing.
But James is Sea is about the dancing too. The tapping in it is bananas. I'm just telling him. I'm telling him, not you, Lisa.
Anyway, so according to Charles Isherwood's review, none of the performers they chose to go with as in the original a lot of people that had no names. By the way, one of those no names was Bernadette Peters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Leslie Margarita's in this.
I don't know who that is.
That's Mrs. Wormwood from Matilda.
Okay.
Yeah, right. She rocks.
So there are no star, there are no star turn names.
Leslie Margarita, who does a weekly podcast on Broadway.com for the past 5 years.
So if someone does a weekly podcast, then they are a star?
No, I'm just talking, she's been another show.
No, I'm going to live with that one. Anyway, so the original production was made to be, it was by design, it was like the little engine that could. And it did really well. And it actually, they talk about... In the show, Danes at Sea, it's the new actress that comes in and steps in and role and gets stardom, which sort of mirrored history, which because Bernadette Peters replaced the original person who played the role. I don't remember.
But she did.
Yep. So and the star character's name is Ruby, after Ruby Keeler. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
Yes.
Am I good? Did I do that good?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Yes, you did. Thank you.
I like that you actually looked at everyone in the studio for their approval.
I want to make sure. So the orchestrations was by Jonathan Tunick. I mean, it had some great names to it. And set designer Anna Luizos, who I do not know.
I do not know her.
But it said the orchestrations in the set gave it, the production, some much needed sparkle without betraying its unpretentious spirit. But anyway, that's opened. It's at the Helen Hayes Theater, which is the smallest musical theater house in New York.
572 seats.
Yeah, see, I'm waiting for it to get 572. That's a very good... You just pulled that right out of your head, right?
Yeah, that was a totally awesome... I like that.
I do, too.
And it must have 500 seats to qualify as a Broadway theater.
I know that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I didn't know the number.
I didn't know the number of the other... of actually in the Helen Hayes.
Trivia corner.
So. Yeah. Okay. Like you're going to make offhanded comments. You got to do it in a microphone.
Trivia corner with Jim Lindsay.
There you go.
Welcome.
Also, we won't spend a lot of time on this. Is anybody want to add anything else about Dames at Sea? Who here is familiar with the music and the show?
I'm raising my hand. Yeah.
I'm not either. I'm
raising my hand, but
David
I can't
Blackburn
see you.
Oh,
I
can't see
because Jim's in the way. No, it's okay. Who in every time that David is here, whoever is standing there is in the way. And it's usually Barbara. So, yeah, you look like you want
it's
to
all
say
good.
Something.
Everything, no, I'm fine.
Okay. That's good.
I just know the music.
I'm going to very quickly talk about this. This is a show called The Humans. It opened at the Laura Pels Theater, and it's done by Roundabout, I think. But it's a play that opened. It's by Stephen Karam, directed by Joe Mantello. And according to who did this, Isherwood once again. But, you know, he loves straight plays. He hates musicals.
Yeah,
teasing, of course. Said this is like one of his best shows that Mantello directed. Mantello's
according
directed like a zillion things. According to Isherwood.
Isherwood.
Yep.
It could be. I haven't seen
who that. I think Isherwood has lost you as a fan today.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, you don't have it. So it tells the story of a family getting together, of course, over Thanksgiving, as so many of these shows do. But it doesn't fall into that triteness that a family show like this can tend to fall into, he says. And it's telling the story of the 99%. And it's talking about middle-class families, middle-class values, and how people are doing jobs that in the 60s and 70s could sustain a family of four, can no longer do that. And it's talking about, you know, things that I think we can all relate to. So everybody should go see that.
Well, there you go.
There you go. And the final show that I want to talk about before we move on to other really exciting things is Sylvia.
Yeah.
Which is a revival. I didn't realize it was a revival.
Yes.
Jim, you're nodding as if you know the show.
I did that show too.
Yeah.
You did it?
Yeah.
Did you play
I played the multiple roles.
Oh, good. That would be the one I would want to play.
Yeah.
Of course I couldn't though. It's with Matthew Broderick and Annalee Ashford. I love Annalee Ashford.
Sorry. Sarah Jessica Parker was in the original.
Was the original, production. Yes, I know. Mm-hmm.
I just think it's
and she's
funny
saying that because she's married to Matthew Broderick.
Yes. The whole
yeah. Nicole likes it when things go full circle.
I do. It gets me excited. The little things in life.
But
what can
here's
I tell you?
This has given me a little bit of I feel a little vindicated. You know, I have an issue with Matthew Broderick and specifically with the producers and how he was trying to be Gene Wilder, and he seems so affected so often when I see him. And so Charles Isherwood said this. I'm just going to read the paragraph. He said, "But Mr. Broderick has become something of a frustrating puzzle. For more than 10 years now, he's been turning in variations of the same coy performance, employing a curdled, boyish, and weirdly artificial voice that he unveiled, I think, in The Producers, and now seems to use every time he steps on stage."
Ouch.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, no. What he's saying is he thinks he put it on during The Producers and just kept it.
No, right. I can see that. I totally get that.
Me too.
But you know what it is? I don't even think it's from The Producers. To me, he reminded me of doing Ferris Bueller.
Yeah,
it's Ferris. It's his old Ferris Bueller that he's been doing and never lost.
Yeah. You may be correct, though.
Womp, womp. Should I tell Matthew to get on that and work on it?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to, I want to make sure we have plenty of time.
But Sylvia got mixed reviews from everyone. We didn't really say anything.
Yeah,
there was a lot of thumbs up, thumbs down in between.
Yeah, and we should say that it tells the story of a man and his dog, or it's actually sort of a wacky, crazy guy and his dog who he likes more than his wife.
Yeah, I was going to say his wife is part of it. It's a dog he adopted or he found in Central Park and brings home.
And the dog is played by a human, in this case, Annalee Ashford.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a comedy, but it's a dark comedy.
Black so they comedy.
Say. Have you seen it? Well, you've done it.
Yeah, I've done it. Yeah. Okay.
It's an interesting piece.
It is. I think it's a very enjoyable script, but from my point of view, it's not really a Broadway show. It's a really great off-Broadway play.
Yeah.
I can totally see that.
Because it's very intimate. It's only three, four people in it.
Yeah.
And the comedy is very intimate as well. So putting it in a big theater like that, that's why Dames at Sea is going to fit really well in the Helen Hayes, because it's the smallest house. That's where Xanadu played.
They're saying that it's too small for even the Helen Hayes.
Oh, is that right?
That's what I mean, that's what Isherwood said. But I don't know. We'll see.
He thought there was too much.
Where did you do the
dance show?
I did Sylvia at Flower Mound Performing Arts Theater in Dallas.
Dallas, Texas?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of that place.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The Big B.
Well, I should say that the number I played at the very beginning is from A My Name is Alice. It was a production. It was a show, a song called "The Portrait," and I say that "My Name Is Alice" is written by or directed and put together by a woman, and I lost her name.
But that lady,
Joan Micklin Silver and Julianne Boyd. It was produced in 1983. It was a review series, and the reason why I played it is Playbill did a. Article of 10 musicals by women you don't know. And so I thought I would play in our interstitial moments some of these things. And this was from A My Name is Alice, which again is a review type show. And then we're going to talk about, before we go to break, another show that was in this. But there's a link on the website for this article from Playbill. What makes this sort of fun is there, with the exception of only one piece, which was from 1934, there's video on all of this. So you can see little pieces of it. So one of them, and I remember this from 1984, was Quilters. And it was the only Broadway musical in recent memory with books, music, and lyrics by women, based on a book by women with only females on stage.
I feel like I worked on a production of that show.
You may have.
I did
way back in the day.
Yeah, it would have been the late 80s.
And the tagline at the time was, the West wasn't won at the point of a gun, it was at the point of a needle.
Mm-hmm. I did work on a production of that show. Boy, my mind.
And then another one in 1964, Oh, What a Lovely War. First woman to ever be nominated for a Tony Award for Best Direction of a Musical. Didn't happen again until 8 years later. But so there's several shows here. So I'll just go through the list and people can go in. Shelter, Gretchen Cryer and Nancy Ford, Cryer and Ford. Runaways by Liz Suedos, and that we're going to talk about a little bit later. Quilters, Anna Russell's The Little Show, which was 1953, and she was a woman comedian that did a Broadway turn with some music in it. A Hero Is Born. That's the one from 1937 that doesn't have video. Oh, What a Lovely War. We talked about Birds of Paradise, which is a take on the seagull, which we have one opening up here soon, too. We have, what's it called? It's about Songbird. It's about to open.
And this is only Broadway shows?
No, Broadway and off-Broadway.
And off-Broadway. So nothing by Marcy and Zena on that list.
Nothing by Marcy and Zena.
You better write Playbill.
But it's also 10 musicals by women's you don't know. Women's? Women you don't know. Also missing here was Fun Home, but when we leave, we're playing Ring of Keys. I'm sorry.
You love that song.
I love that song. I can't stop.
That's okay. Right. I'm in agreement with you on
all right,
that.
I've got time for one more thing, and then we have to take a break, and we have to get our trivia question in.
Okay, where are you going?
Hamilton.
What
did you read
it?
About this?
Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's been in the news.
Well, for students. So the Rockefeller Foundation committed $1.5 million to subsidize tickets for students to see Hamilton. And I think it's sort of interesting. So for the next several years,
That'll allow 20 people.
Well, wait a second. the production has agreed to sell the tickets for $70 each, which is half what the average is. And the foundation pays $60, and the kids pay $10. Which, by the way, Hamilton's on the $10 bill.
Dun, 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 dun.
Zing. But there's going to be a whole study guide around it. And actually, one of the things they say is that I agree with is they're having the kids pay $10 because they say...
Skin in the game.
It makes it mean more to you. And I actually believe that, too.
Yeah.
Anybody else? No? Okay. We have a quiet group today.
I wish
you.
They would just do that for all shows. Kids should be going to theater.
I agree.
You should wait for Hamilton to pay for it.
I agree.
So I'm happy, but I'm a little irritated at the same time that kids should be getting the art. So there you go, Foundation.
I agree. Yes. Work on that.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of trivia? So we have a trivia question. And as you know, we do a trivia question at this section of the show. It is answered at the very first thing, if Lisa remembers, at Backstage at Offstage. So go get the podcast.
Okie dokie. Are you ready?
Yep.
I chose one from the William Finn section. William Finn, who has written the falsettos and the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
I speak five languages.
Thank you, Lisa. In 1998... Finn and several other playwrights, he's multi-talented, including John Guare, Tony Kushner, and Wendy Wasserstein, wrote one-act plays inspired by Shakespearean sonnets for the acting company. Finn's work, titled Painting, was based on sonnet 102. What celebrated composer contributed incidental music in this production? A. Jason Robert Brown. B. Janine Tesori, C. Andrew Lippa, D. Adam Gutel, or E. Michael John, is it Lachuisa, right? Is it C-H-I-U-S-A?
Lachuisa.
Lachuisa?
Okay. So it's one of those. I have my idea. Nobody shout it out because we're going to answer it later. And finally, that's a good one.
I said you wanted
kind of like a generally music. I was like, I think I found a really interesting
one. That's a good one. So the last thing I want to talk about before we go to break, because we're going to hear about it, is one of the shows from that from the women's theater. Shows by women that you've never heard of is The Runaways, which is a musical by Liz Suedos, who was a nobody then at the time, and Elizabeth Suedos is now a teacher at the Tisch School at NYU, which I didn't know that. So people are sort of blank. Does everybody know have heard of Elizabeth Suedos?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Very famous theater person from the 70s. Anyway, it premiered at the Public in 1978. And then went to Broadway and played for 274 performances at the Plymouth Theater. And it's basically, and it's really interesting to hear the story because it's very much like today's day. It was basically, she had this idea. She went to Joe Papp at the Public and said, hey, I want to interview Runaways and I want to put their stories on stage. And they did it very much like Chorus Line, which also had its beginning at with Joseph Papp just 3 years prior to this, and said, so they went out and interviewed and they workshopped it and they came up with this story of 18 runaways, and it's done by singing. And so it's interesting. They had three actual runaways in the cast, and it was a tremendous hit. And it's interesting in the clip that's on the playbill.com piece and the piece of the song that you're going to see right now, one of the actors was deaf and ahead of his time, a la Deaf West, he signed all his music. And this piece shows this signing. It's really, really beautiful. I would encourage folks to go to offstageonair.com, click the thing, or do a a search at playbill.com for this article. So we're going to play a song that is the song that I'm talking about called... Oh, and this... it was nominated for Tony, didn't win. It lost to Ain't Misbehavin'. I hope I have the right deck. No, I don't. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So this is from the Tony Awards, 1978 Tony Awards, the
recording.
The video, not the recording.
Oh, the video that you're talking about. Okay.
Here we go. We'll be back. This was hard.
A prisoner's got to run from trouble. A prisoner.
Zing. Oh, do that again. I didn't have your microphone on.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. Well, and we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, Nicole Shiro. We are talking to David Blackburn, Jim Lindsay, Kirk Kelso, Becca Safarian, Daniel Klein, not Bridget Farias, and Amir Mubarak. Yeah, I got it.
Perfect.
Yeah, I was there. You know, if I don't think about it, it just goes. So, but we're here right now. We're going to talk about something called the Rocky Horror Show.
Yay.
So, Jim Lindsay, I've never heard of this show. What is it?
Yes, you have. You heard of it 40 years ago when it opened on Broadway.
Yeah, so here I did actually learn something in my research from this. I was under the mistaken thought that the stage play was after the movie, but it's exactly the opposite.
Yes. Yes.
Tell
us about it.
So the stage play the stage play came before the film in London, and it played several
1973.
Thousand, yeah, several, a couple thousand performances, very successful. Then the film came out, and it became a Broadway show, which was very unsuccessful.
1975.
Yeah.
Although the revival 15 years ago was extremely successful, it was so good.
Year
it
2000.
Was so good. And you know why it closed, though? It would have gone on very successfully, but because of 9/11, there was so much turmoil in New York at the time. Yeah. So many shows were either had to close out of fear because they didn't have the advanced ticket sales, or were they were not The Lion King. So that was one of them. That was one of the shows that had to close. When
I saw it, I saw it before it closed. I was lucky.
Had a great cast too.
Tell us about the show. What is it?
Well, pretty excited about the show. Richard O'Brien's Rocky Horror Show is a send up and spoof to 1960s, 70s B movies, alien thrillers, that sort of thing. But it is a full fledged musical for those people who kind of remember. Or I think one of the things I have experienced having directed this show now is everybody wants to come up to me and tell me about their personal experience with the Rocky Horror Show, and it has a range, and a lot of it has to do with going to the movies to either see it or be a part of it, and down front, that sort of thing. But this is actually quite different. The musical structured a little differently, more like a traditional musical. And while we're encouraging people to dress up and participate, and we'll have props for people to participate with, it's not like they're going to be standing in front of the actors like it is in the film. It's a little
that would be a little
more structured than that, but it's going to be a rocking good time. We had our first rehearsal last night with the band, and it sounded awesome.
So that's interesting, though. Talk about that, because so many people are familiar with the film and all the traditions and the stuff around the film. What happens if somebody does stand up like they do in the film? What are you going to do? You going to do you have a battle pot or something?
I have this bat. no, actually,
but it's interesting because I wonder whether people think that it's going to be that. As someone that fields some phone calls about this, I'm getting questions about people are allowed to and not to do.
Yeah, one of the things I advised the producer about is. She usually brings in a couple of volunteers to help kind of with the house, ushering people in and handing out programs. And I was like, it's
by
not
producer,
gonna, not
you mean
be
Barbara Schuller.
Barbara Schuller, yep. Yeah. Not
my
quite
going
to be like
that.
You're going to need about three times as many people. Yep. We're going to have to seed them out around the theater just in case there's a little mayhem. Mm-hmm.
A little mayhem.
I've seen the show multiple times before on Broadway or have worked on the show. Uh-huh. I've never seen anyone get up from the seat and try to run up on stage.
Yeah, less than 0.5% is going
to
be.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe somebody needs to charge their cell phone. Hey, we're going to take a little sidebar here. Amir, could you please choose a number between 2 and 47?
Let's go with 17.
17. Why 17?
That just felt right.
Felt right. All right. Well, let's see what you chose.
Hi, I'm Robert Biederman, playing Captain George Brackett in the cast of South Pacific on tour, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
Good old Robert Biederman.
We haven't
Biederman.
Listened to him in a while. No, we haven't. Heard that one in a while.
Thank you. so that was a little sidetrack. Kurt, who do you play in the show?
I am Frankenfurter.
Frankenfurter. That was supposed to be my role, you know.
Was it?
It was.
No one told the director.
Yeah, no, it's true. It was
an unfortunate
my own
accident. That
no, you would do it much better than I. So tell us about Frankenfurter.
Well, Lisa, you could have been done that role, but the thing is you have to audition.
Very good point away from the microphone.
I love that.
He belted that. No, I don't audition. People should just give me things. So tell us about Frankenfurter.
Oh, Frankenfurter. I believe Frankenfurter feels he is a liberator. He has discovered the love of his life and loves his life, and he wants to share that with everyone. However, in his zeal, he sometimes oversteps others' boundaries and perhaps doesn't even consider them. But it's for their own good.
He's a giver.
He is
He's a humanitarian.
Giver.
Great. And Becca and Daniel, who do you guys play?
I play Janet Weiss.
And I am Brad Majors.
Okay. And y'all are the ingenue couple here, basically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Fall into the mayhem.
Tell us about the roles. Tell us about these characters.
Well, Brad and Janet go through quite the transition in the show.
Yes.
The show opens with their engagement, and then their car breaks down, and they come upon a scary castle and looking for a phone and trying to get their car started again, and all these crazy things start to happen to them. And for Janet, her character kind of learns a lot and grows. And I think Brad and Janet both grow, but kind of in different directions.
They're like really very sheltered suburban couple when it starts,
most
correct?
Most definitely. Yeah.
They're quite darling at the beginning.
They are quite darling. Well, we're going to listen to a little bit of this show, are we not?
That would be yes.
Okay. Yes.
Tell us what we're going to listen to.
We're going
to
start off with Brad and Janet's opening song.
Okay, and this is famously Damn It, Janet, isn't it?
Yes, it would be.
Lovely, lovely. And anybody want to do to set it up? Is there anything to set this song up? No?
This is the song where Brad decides to get all of his courage up and propose to Janet.
Okay, wonderful. So this is Becca Safarian and Daniel Klein doing Damn It, Janet from Austin Theater Project's production of The Rocky Horror Show.
Hey, Janet.
Yes, Brad?
I've got something to say.
Yes?
I really love the skillful way. You beat the other girls to the bride's bouquet. The river was deep, but I swam it. The future is ours, so let's plan it. So please don't tell me to can it. I've got one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet, I love you. The road was long, but I ran it. There's a fire in my heart, and you fan it. If there's one fool for you, then I am it. Now I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet, I love you. Here's a ring to prove that I'm no joker. There's three ways that love can grow. That's good, bad, or mediocre. Oh, Janet, I love you so.
Oh, it's nicer than Betty Monroe had. Now
love you too. There's one thing left to do, and that's go see the man that began it. When we met in his science exam, it made me give you the eye and then panic. Now I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet, I love you. Damn it, Janet.
Oh, Brad, I'm mad.
Damn it, Janet, I love you.
How sweet is that?
I love this show.
We're adorable. I love
that. That was fun.
Aren't they so good?
What?
Aren't they so good?
They are good. Why am I not hearing you? Because I turned my headphones down.
I don't think he was there for a minute. I didn't hear him.
Oh, say something.
Aren't they so good?
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, you're there.
They are.
Third time's a charm.
They are so good. No, you were there the whole time. For me, my headphones weren't on, which causes a problem. Uh-huh. That's fun. So what has been... I would think doing this show would be challenging. Is it?
It is deceptively difficult, actually.
Tell me about that.
Well, we actually have... I think it's traditionally cast with only 13 people. Last time I did the show, we had 13, but I actually decided I wanted 15 because we had
Because that's two more.
Because it's two more people with opinions.
You just wanted to rock the boat.
And we wanted to rock the house, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
It is a very deceptive show because you can approach the show and think, oh, this is just very fluffy, this is very silly, there's just a lot of gags and things like that. But as you all know, comedy is difficult.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to do a rock show and comedy, it's even more difficult. And then we have, 300 light cues.
I was like, there's a lot of production aspects that make this show, daunting. Like, whoa, I did, oh.
And most actors are on almost the entire show. So it's two solid acts of almost everybody involved. Yeah. So it's a pretty exhausting show as well.
So I think most people would... remember it, especially from the movie, from the iconic role of Frankenfurter done by Tim Curry.
Yes.
And his iconic song. And we're going to hear that, aren't we?
Yes.
So what song is that?
Sweet Transvestite.
Yeah. So I think this was probably, I think in 1977, this movie introduced transgender community to middle America.
In a very interesting way.
I wouldn't say introduced.
I would be more like foist.
Thrusted upon. Well, great. So I'm looking forward to seeing this. Well, how did you approach Frankenfurter as a role?
Well,
Very carefully.
But of course, I've been greatly influenced by Tim Curry. Mm-hmm. I thought he was amazing. And you either...
He's Tim Curry. He's like J.J. Watt, Hugh Jackman. What can't he do?
You either pay great homage to him or you try to do something completely different.
Right.
And I chose the former.
Great.
I'm very influenced by him, and I think he did a great job. And so I'm... Mm-hmm.
Well, lovely. Well, we're looking forward to hearing this song. This is Kirk Kelso. He's performing Sweet Transvestite from Austin Theater Project's production of The Rocky Horror Show.
Howdy do I see you met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the Candyman, didn't you, freaky? Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So let me show you around, maybe play you a sound. You both look like you're pretty groovy. Or if you'd like something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
we'll just say where we are and then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
So you got caught with a flat? Well, how about that, my babies? Don't you panic. By the light of the night, it will all seem all right. I will get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay the night? Or maybe a bite? I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with long hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hit, hit! I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.
What fun. Fun, fun, fun. Has this been just the funnest role you've ever done?
I'm
just
pretty
about?
Sure this one's going to be number one.
It's going to be up there.
Permigrant going on over there. What are you talking about?
And it'd be unfair of us not to mention that you were on the cover of the Chronicle last week.
That's
you not?
Right.
Yeah.
As with a wonderful photo taken by Jim Lindsay.
That's right. Photo credits to Jim Lindsay.
Photo credit Jim Lindsay. Well, great. So we're out of time. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
You want to go to Austin Theater
Project.
Ready? Okay, ready?
Yeah, do it again. Let's take two. Where can folks go to get more information about this show?
AustinTheaterProject.org. AustinTheaterProject.org.
And you open when?
We open this Friday night, October 30th, play till November 14th with Thursday through Sunday performances.
And what theater are you playing at?
At the wonderful Ground Floor Theater, which if you haven't explored yet, I highly encourage it. And this is the show to get you started.
That's true. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. We love it when Austin Theater Project comes on. And hopefully, I know not all of you can, but some can stay for backstage. That was David Blackburn. You make me laugh. David Blackburn, Jim Lindsay, Kirk Kelso, Becca Safarian, and Daniel Klein of Austin Theater Project's production of The Rocky Horror Show, playing October 30th through November 14th at the Ground Floor Theater. For more information, you may visit austintheaterproject.org. And you might want to know, where are we going to go when we get there? We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps.
Yes.
And we're going to ask the audience to please be quiet in the back because we're on the air. Thank you. you really see how the sausage is made.
I was about to say, please say, I want you to say what you like to say, and you said it. That's
we just
great.
Got, you know, we just got to like throw it out there because there is no engineer here other than me at
what
this
are you talking
point.
About? You're the fabulous Lisa Sheps Engineering.
I'm the FLS.
Yes.
Okay, so we don't really have time to give this justice, but I will say just that the Biden Payne Awards were given out on Monday.
Yes.
Anybody here in this room win anything?
No.
Okay.
No.
So good. So I'm not going to insult anybody, at least right in this room, by not going through every category.
I want to know why we weren't on there for best radio show on theater, B.I.
You would
and
think
Payne.
7 years on the air, we'd
Hello?
Get something, B.I. and Payne.
Reporting about almost every single show on here.
Yeah. So, but because we want to make sure that we give our guests the due time they need, is there anything specific you want to
No. We can
highlight?
Put the list online. Specific, you mean for shows?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of cool Halloween stuff going on. Halloween with Edgar Allan Poe at Chez-Z.
Talk in the microphone, please.
Bernadette Halloween, Edgar Allan Poe Poetry Read at Chez-Z. There's Bernadette Nason reading
doing the stories,
stories
with kids.
Over at Austin Playhouse. Uh-huh. There are many Halloween-y kind of things going on, and they're now playing Austin put all the Halloween kind of stuff together, which
cool.
I thought was cool.
Okay, let's go straight to today in theater history.
Yes, let's.
In 1928, it's the Tony Award-winning costume designer Florence Klotz.
That's a great name.
That's her birthday. So I've never heard of her. Have you?
I have, but I couldn't tell you what she's done.
I never heard of her, but look at what she's done. Follies, A Little Night Music, that's Pacific Overtures, On the 20th Century, Rags, City of Angels, Kiss of the Spider Woman.
She does a lot of Kander and Evan Sondheim.
And more.
Clearly.
So. I just said a lot of Kander and Evan Sondheim.
Yeah.
In 1954, The Rainmaker opened at the Court Theater with somebody named Geraldine Page. It was made into a movie in 1956, and it was also the musical 110 in the Shade.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Dun, dun, dun. Let's see. I'll just say this for you, because in 1979, Arnold Soboloff died. He played Captain Hook in Peter Pan.
Oh, I was like, isn't he one of the Hooks?
Yeah, but here's the interesting thing. It was the LaFontaine in 1979. He died of a heart attack just as he finished his song in Act Two. He went off stage in the wings and collapsed.
Whoa.
Yeah, he was 48 years old. Him and Irene Ryan.
Interesting.
2003, Kevin Kline played Falstaff in Henry IV.
I remember that.
Here's the other cast members. Ethan Hawke.
Yep.
Michael Hayden, Audra McDonald, Dana Ivey, Brian Jennings, and Richard Easton.
You know, they really should have put a talented cast together.
They really should have.
What were they thinking?
And in 2012, you were in New York at this time.
I was. What was I doing? Oh, was it something I saw?
It was Hurricane Sandy.
Yes, I was so trapped right now.
Every
with
show
no
tonight.
Power for 14 days.
Every show tonight canceled because of the bringing was the preparation for Hurricane Sandy. 1985, I'm going to go back. Wally Shawn's Aunt Dan and Lemon opens at the Public Theater today. So he was in the show, Wally Shawn, along with Linda Hunt. Wally Shawn most everybody will know him popularly from Inconceivable.
Oh, yes.
And The Princess Bride. Yes. And he is one of the premier Broadway playwrights. And finally, also on this date in 2013, he starred in the American premiere of Grasses of a Thousand Colors off Broadway.
Interesting.
Along with Julie Haggerty, Emily Cass McDonald, Christina Mueller, and Jennifer Tilly.
Interesting.
Birthdays today. Elsa Lanchester. Cleo Lane.
Oh, Cleo.
Joan Plowright, great actress, and wife to...
I just was listening to Cleo Lane the other day.
Okay.
Songs for
and Joan Plowright. Mm-hmm. Jane Alexander. Locally, Madge Darlington, the Rude Mex.
Yeah.
Zach Leos, who is a wonderful improviser here in town. Jay Bird and Joe Stevens.
Wow, there's
all have
a lot
their birthdays
of good birthdays
today. Yep.
Well, that's awesome. Hats off.
Cool. So, what am I doing? Oh, this is another woman's music from women shows, and this is from Getting My Act Together and Taking It on the Road, which had three sequels, or a sequel and a trequel.
Multiple.
So, you know what? I'm wrong about that. I'm thinking of A My Name Is Alice had three. So
oh, okay.
A My Name Is Still Alice, and then They Call Me Alice. I don't know. Here it is. This is the Strong Woman number.
I'm doing my Strong Woman number.
And we are back. Another bottle down. Mark Grayshap is two shows from now. And
I don't see him out there having some wine yet, though.
He's not having some wine.
He's normally
so it might
out there
be,
having wine.
Every now and then it's pre-recorded.
It's so magic.
Right next door to this radio station, the City Theater, has got a current production running, the musical comedy Mystery of 1940.
Murders? Musical comedy Murders of 1940.
My gosh, why is that so difficult to say?
Ask John Bishop.
He listens to this
Let's
show.
Let's see if we can get him on the line.
And we have Amir Mubarak here on the show. Tell us about this show.
Okay, well, it's a fun show. It's a lot of people call it.
It doesn't sound like a fun show.
Well, how what
has
comedy
murder.
Means fun?
It does have
I know,
murder.
But murder means murder.
Yeah, comedy musical. A lot of people call it a cross between Agatha Christie and Noises Off.
Oh, that's a good. Murder. I like yeah. that explanation. Yeah. Okay,
it's a lot of fun. Basically, what it's about is a creative team. We're talking producer, composer, lyricist, director. Had a show in New York that turned out to be a flop because three chorus girls were murdered during the production of it. And so the show shut down.
That's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, that's a bummer. That'll like really like.
And they just went, let's make a comedy about it.
Well, and now a wealthy angel, a few months later, is attempting to bring this creative team together in her house because she was friends with one of the chorus girls, and she's hired an undercut. She's hired.
Namir, is this an angel like in heaven?
No.
Okay. Explain to people what an angel is.
It's like a backer. They basically put up the money for a show.
The big money, folks.
So she's the big money, and she's hired an undercover cop to come in so she can catch the murderer. So she's brought this creative team back together for a backers audition, quote unquote, for their new show. And it's all about really trying to catch the murderer, who's called the Stage Door Slasher.
It sounds a little Clue-like also.
The Stage Door what?
The Stage Door Slasher.
Slasher.
Dentist.
Does feel a little Clue. So it sounds like it's a fun show to do. Is there music in the show?
There is, it's not a musical. That's really funny. Actually, when people were auditioning, people actually apparently did come in and ask. They were like, do you want to hear my song now? And our director, Bridget, was unfortunate to be like, this is not a musical. But it's a fun show. It's a farce.
Really?
All the characters are very over the top.
There's music in it.
There is some music in it.
Of the period?
Yes.
Tell us about the character you play.
I play Roger Hopewell. He is the composer of the group.
Hopewell.
And
so he's the composer.
He is the composer. Uh-huh. And he's very much about his work, and he gets very offended when people accuse him of stealing other people's work.
Did you do it? Are you the murderer?
Of course not. Well, I mean, you'll have to see it.
I want to know.
And he's very accusatory. He actually brings up the situation. Everyone feels they're there for a backer audition, and my character is actually the first person to bring up, it's a little weird that we're all here together so short after this happened. I think there's something else going on.
There's something afoot.
There's something afoot. It's a lot of fun. Secret passages, twists and turns.
And does like it have, now this sounds like an afternoon at the Winchester Mystery Mansion. There's all sorts of late crazy excitingness.
Whatever that is, it does sound exactly like that.
We'll talk about that on backstage. Okay. It's kind of cool.
excellent. We'll put that on a note to talk about. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Is this done in the style and the verbal parlance of the 1940s?
It is. You'll see a lot of that 1940s language. This show's complete. There's a lot of shtick.
Like what? Give us one of your lines. I want to hear some 1940s shtick.
I actually don't have a lot of the 1940s.
Okay,
shtick.
Never mind.
But
well, because you're a composer. You're, and
yeah,
you know,
I write the music.
So you didn't get murdered.
No, but
I'm
think
not
he
tell
did
you
it.
That.
Well, because if he did get murdered, you know.
I think he did it.
You know what?
What?
He'd be decomposing.
Oh!
Thank you,
ladies and gentlemen. Lisa's here once a week.
I really had to work for that one.
We walked into that one. Yes. That was just right there.
Yeah.
So it sounds like fun. So do you actually have... Do you play piano on stage?
I do not.
Do you play piano in real life?
I do not.
Okay, we'll talk about that at backstage.
I don't either. It's okay.
Now, you guys opened 2 weeks ago, last week?
We opened last weekend.
Last week. How's it going?
It's wonderful. We've had... We had a great Friday and Sunday audience. We had to unfortunately cancel on Thursday because we were worried about the monsoon.
Yeah, that happened.
Turned out not to be a monsoon, but
it was a monsoon at Ground Floor Theater. We had issues.
It was in some places, so that
but
was
we're
good
excited stuff. To start it back up tomorrow.
Right. So this is you're coming to the second week, and how long do you play?
When do you play? Thursday through Sunday for the next 3 weekends.
Okay, and that's through November 15th?
Yes.
And where can folks go to get more information about it?
You can go to www.citytheateraustin.org.
Yeah, you win the prize.
I was like, you are a good guest.
Most people that's not Andy Berkofsky don't know the web address. So
yeah.
I just wait to be able to correct
people.
He's
over here thumbs up and fist pumping and like, yeah.
Well, wonderful. So I'm is sorry. This all ages? Any age can come?
Yes, very much so.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for being on. That sounds
exciting.
Thank
you for having me.
Great, and I hope you'll stick around for backstage.
I hope I can.
I hope you can, too.
I hope you do.
That was Amir Mubarak. He's with City Theater's production of the musical comedy Murders of 1940, playing now through November 15th at City Theater. For more information, citytheateraustin.org, and I just love musicals.
Go see a musical. A musical.
Okay. I wish we had the video going. Tracy Schultz walked in.
Everybody's dancing.
Everybody, where there was jazz hands and hips wiggling and
to that Something Rotten. Shaking. And Barbara Schuller, the producer of Austin Theater Project, saw Something Rotten last week, and they said
it was
definitely worth seeing. it
well,
was something.
That Christian Borle, man.
That Christian Borle. Yeah, and that what's
his video?
Name?
It's Hard to Be the Bard. Still makes me laugh.
Yeah, yeah. It is hard to be the bard.
It is.
So we have done eaten up another hour.
Thank you again, Lisa, for helping out last week.
And
you know what? Thank you for all you do. I didn't get to say it last week.
You're welcome.
You do a lot.
Thank you, Tracy Schultz, who's here in the studio.
My pleasure, as always.
Remember, folks, to stick around. If you're listening on the broadcast, Austin Modern News is next, followed by another Bottle Down. Remember, please like us on Facebook.
Yes.
Tweet us on Twitter.
Tweet.
Stitch us on the Stitcher.
And the best way, get Lisa and Nicole delivered directly to your mailbox. We just appear.
Right in your mailbox. And we do just appear. So
you can just go to offstageonair.com, enter your email address right in the box, click the button, and voila, we arrive weekly.
Thank you, that. And once again, I want to thank everybody who donated during the fall membership drive.
Yes, thank
if you.
If
you requested a t-shirt, be aware that our volunteers are stuffing them right now, even as we speak, and you'll get them soon. Thank you very much. Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on air, and as promised, Ring of Keys.
Thank you.
I don't know where you came from. I wish I did. I feel so dumb. I feel your swagger and your bearing.
Okay, the curtain has just come down on my favorite mop, the musical.
That's an inside joke.
That's not quite known. It's the original creation of the song Rag Mop. Was the theme song for that show. It was cut when it played its previews in Cincinnati. We, though, here at Co-op Theater, placed it back in its original position as the 11 o'clock number in the second act. And it is performed adroitly by Stiggy Wiggenhood.
Stiggy Wiggenhood. Love that, Stiggy.
But the show's over, and we're backstage. and we are here with a bunch of backstage veterans, so this should be fun. David Blackburn, welcome backstage.
I'm glad to be here.
Kirk Kelslow. Done on purpose.
Kelso.
Kirk
yeah,
Kelso,
okay.
Welcome
really?
Back. I did it on purpose. Yeah. And Daniel Klein.
Yep.
So we're going to begin with the answer to the trivia question. Remind us very quickly, briefly, what it was.
Okay, so in 1998, Finn and other playwrights wrote some one-act plays
William
inspired
Finn.
By, yes, sorry, Shakespearean sonnets for the acting company. Finn's work, titled Painting, was based on sonnet 102. What celebrated composer contributed incidental music to this production? Was it A, Jason Robert Brown, B, Janine Tesori, C, Andrew Lippa, D, Adam Gattell, or E, Michael John Latuiza?
I say Adam Gattell.
You
That's
say Adam
where
Gattell.
I was
okay, you're
too.
Going with D. You're going with D. How about you, Kirk?
Make something up. That's what I did.
Jason Robert Brown, Janine, Andrew Lippa, Adam Gattell.
I want to be like everybody.
My first instinct was A because that was like, oh,
Jason
of course
Robert
not.
Jason Robert Brown, yeah.
What oh, of you? Course not.
I'm going to go with John Williams.
You're going to John okay, Williams. John. Okay.
Right after he did Star Wars.
He did that. Yes.
John Williams would have been good, though.
So, and the answer is?
The answer is D. Adam Gattell.
I'm right.
Adam Gattell provided the incidental music working with jazz composer, saxophonist Chico Freeman.
Oh, wow.
Chico Freeman. Now, there's the name.
Chico Freeman. You didn't know who Chico Freeman is?
No. Tell me. Educate me.
Oh, he's kind of like the, oh my God, Mickey Katz with the klezmer, but this guy is like really well known with his saxophone-y bluesy.
Chico Freeman.
I can
love
bring you
that.
Some Chico Freeman.
It's sort of like, oh, I lived in New York and near Soho was a, I'm told. I'm now thinking that I even made up my own urban myth at this point, but it was a kosher sushi bar. And me and my friend Dean decided it was owned by someone named Shlomo Tekemaki.
Okay, well, that makes me happy. I would like to
think that makes sense.
I mean, don't you think that's the best way to describe Chico Freeman?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a, yeah.
He's a very niche kind of a
artist. Is it niche or niche?
Niche. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm
tomato,
in Texas.
Tomato,
I'm in
potato,
Texas.
Potato.
Niche. I'm in niche.
The only word I have a problem with people pronounce separately is naked and necked. Naked bothers me.
Well, naked, that's just ignorant. I'm sorry, Daniel, if you say that.
No, naked
people
is
people do say it, and it's like, that's the one
that kind of has a different meaning.
But you might be saying it on purpose. Like I say when I talk about my pet, I call her my dog.
Your dog.
But I do that on purpose. That's also like I do coffee. Well, so is naked is a Texas.
You don't think it's like a tomato, tomato, potato, potato, like that kind of thing? People just say that's what naked is. Aunt.
No. Yeah. Dog is an accent. Naked is an accent.
Oh, I think it's like naked and naked. It's like...
No, naked is southern dialect.
Do you say aunt or do you say aunt?
I say it the proper way with aunt.
I see it's aunt.
I know you do because you're affected. So
that just made my day, Lisa Sheps. Thank you.
Who has performed overseas here? Anybody?
Performed overseas?
Yeah.
Are we talking about theater?
On the seas?
I performed on the seas.
Does this mean we had an audience or did we just perform?
Oh. There we go. This is going to be a racy backstage.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll let you make your own definition.
I like that answer, Mr. Blackburn.
My laws.
Back in the day.
You're giving me the vapors. Speaking of the vapors, does anybody know what that actually is? I do.
Yeah.
No.
Kurt says yes. What is it?
Gas.
Yes.
It's not gas from the stomach.
It's
gas from the other side.
It's where it originates.
It is flatulence.
The backside.
Yes.
Vapors sound so much better.
Vapors does sound so much better. And it sounds better when you say
vapors.
I got the vapors. So has anybody... So we've performed... So I'm guessing cruise ships.
Cruise ships, yes.
Anybody else done a cruise ship?
No.
Okay, has anybody worked overseas in theater or any performing arts?
Yes.
I've never left America.
You have. What'd you do?
I did mine with Marcel Marceau. Remember when I went over to school we had some performance class and I did some scene stuff in London.
We just talked about that yesterday at dinner, don't you remember?
This was over almost 30 years ago.
Does everybody remember Marcel Marceau's speaking line in Silent Movie?
In Silent Movie.
Yeah.
No.
Daniel.
I'm the youngest
Daniel,
guy
do you even
know
who
nothing.
Marcel Marceau is? That's so sad.
Is or was?
Was.
Is he live?
No.
No, he's
no. No. He was ancient when I was there.
He was like
years
the quintessential mime.
Oh, okay.
Of the day.
Yes.
He was the one that everybody...
He's basically when you watch all the movies from the 40s to the 90s, you see the random mime dude walking around, that's... More than
probably
likely, Marcel Marceau.
Okay.
He was French.
Awesome. I couldn't.
You
tell
mean
by
French?
The name.
Yeah. I actually call him Freedom.
And in Mel Brooks' Silent Movie, he had the only spoken line. It was actually the only line he ever spoke.
I believe.
Is that true? I didn't know.
As a performer. Because I've heard him speak.
Okay. So we all perform multiple functions in the theater. So what have you, so Daniel? I know you primarily as an actor. Have you done other things in the theater?
Mostly just acting. I've done like backstage work where I was just like a tech hand and just.
Okay, so your homework,
okay,
is to be a stage manager or either work. So do some of that stuff where you're not performing at all and you're like in your that's my.
I'm trying to get to be a director. So
there you go.
Working
that works.
On that.
But so that there is more important to do some of that other stuff first.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, cool. It'll help the directing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the article I sent to you on our favorite other person that we talk about, the Swings? Did you see these people writing a book?
Did you see wrote a book? It's already out.
Sorry.
Yeah, and it was something I had out for us to talk about, but we didn't talk about it. But I love that idea.
I was very excited. I was like, Lisa, he must listen to Offstage and On the Air and decided to write this book.
So it's a book and you can actually see read a good part of it free online. And it's in I don't have my paperwork here, but I had the name of it.
Maybe we can put it on our website.
Well, I can put it on the website.
Yeah.
Kirk, have you done anything other than perform?
No.
Well, I happen to know that's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you produced a one-man show at Ground Floor Theater.
Well, that's true, but I was still the star.
It doesn't
you were
matter.
Still the star.
Still wearing another hat.
But it is different than.
Yeah, I talked to David Jarrett when he was here talking about, he spent a lot of time talking about it. He did the Freud's Last Session. He produced it because he wanted to be in it, and he was a big eye-opener for him. And I'm assuming you learned a lot when you produced that show.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, well, thanks for
being
on the show.
And there's the big answer.
The
you know, I learned a lot about getting the band together and that sort of thing. So I much prefer
again?
Other people to do.
You much prefer.
I've right. learned Please. That I need to delegate more.
Well, but that and, also helps you be a little bit more empathetic to other yes, people that are doing that work, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. David, now we know you as a behind-the-scenes guy, but you were also a performer, right?
I've done some performing. What was interesting is in college, I was a piano performance major, and I had an injury.
A PPM.
Uh-huh. I had an injury to my hand and had to decide what I wanted to do. They needed somebody in the theater program, in the theater department to play for Brigadoon. I fell in love with that. But there was no such thing as a musical theater degree back in those days.
Yeah, because you're old.
I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually my training in college was in technical theater.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Is that what they called it, a technical theater degree?
Well, no, it was a theater degree, but my primary work was done in scene design, lighting design. I broke too many sewing machines, so they kept me out of the costume shop, which is fine with me. But I did a lot, and I did directing and stage managing.
So did you learn drafting and all that stuff as part of your design? So is that something you still can do?
I can do it. I don't like to draft. I'd rather just scribble or go on the computer.
Well, who
I'm
would?
The same way with all that stuff like I learned in school.
Much
I'm
stuff.
All like, mm-hmm.
Too much stuff. But I couldn't do lighting design now because
it's so different
with all the computers.
And yet the basics are
the basics. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was, you know. And then whenever they did a musical, then I got to go into the pit and I got to be the music director.
That's nice.
That's fun.
And you remind us again what school?
Appalachian State University, Boone, North Carolina.
Did they probably said naked.
Not in that department. No. No, I had to take
Not in that
I had
department.
To take like a speech class to get rid of my southern accent before I could do anything.
Southern accent.
Yeah,
really?
He's a big time southern accent.
North Carolina? Oh, no, yeah. You put me on the phone for 10 minutes with my mom or my sister.
Did you grow up in North Carolina, though?
From seventh grade on.
Oh, see, I thought you were down in Texas, and they went. That's why I'm laughing. They're telling a Texan they had a southern accent. That's what I was laughing at. But no, you really were.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
North
then, yeah,
Carolina, because you probably got the vapors quite often.
Oh, yeah. You've no idea, darling. You have no idea.
No idea. That's kind of so, Daniel, what's next for you?
So right now it's just Rocky Horror. Beyond that, I've got no plans at the immediate future. I'm working on a short story that I hope
that
to
you're writing.
Yeah, I'm turning to writing. I'm trying to then put it into a short film kind of script and see what I can do from there.
What's it about?
It's a tentatively titled Carmen's Big Day about a high school student that realizes that she has a huge passion for killing people.
Doesn't most high school students.
But it's going to be...
charming.
I want it narrated comically, either just by like a very deep voice or by a British voice, and just be like, have these like really horrifying scenes hysterically narrated just throughout the whole movie. And I also want the impression to be impassed to the reader as well when they're reading that short story that they get that it's being... more spoken to them as opposed to just being read.
So you're writing it short story style currently, but then are you gonna then adapt that to a screenplay?
Yeah, I just need to get it down on paper first and then go from there.
So everybody, who else is writing a screenplay? You know, in New York or Los Angeles, everybody's writing a screenplay.
Yeah,
I'm not writing a screenplay.
I've never
writing
a
musical.
Screenplay.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it.
Tell us about it.
It's
Janet.
Called Sheps and Shiro, and we starred it. What's wrong with you? Where I've been to rehearsals. Where have you been?
Where have you been, Lisa? Trying to run a theater or something?
Drunk?
Gosh.
Just drunk.
No, it's a modern retelling of Dangerous Liaisons set in Washington and New York.
In current time. And are you writing book, music, and lyrics?
Well, yeah. That's why it's taking forever.
Well, that's exciting.
Because I have so much spare time.
Where in the process are you?
I have everything outlined. I have my character development pretty much done now.
I think that's a big hard part. When you get over that hurdle, you can at least... I know you rewrite and do stuff, but if you can't get your character development going...
If you can't get the characters going, and if you can't, you have to... For me, the hardest part was... easy part was the main storyline, and then... the secondary characters and their storylines and how they weave in and out. That was, you know, to keep it interesting, but it's coming along.
Well, cool. I'm gonna cut us off now because I promised somebody else to use this studio.
Yes, absolutely.
So unfortunately, we have to stop. There's a whole. I liked this backstage.
This was fun. Yeah.
Because you've all been here before, we didn't have to like do the whole
the obligatory
Michigoff that we normally do.
Where did you come from?
Can I just add one more comment?
You may.
I find it very interesting for the last year and a half that every time I've done this show,
no.
Nicole has worked J.J. Watt into every show in there.
Well, so what you didn't notice along with J.J. Watt was Hugh Jackman.
I did say
that. And they were in the same sentence.
You know what's really funny? Is I actually haven't brought up JJ or Hugh in a few weeks.
No, that's not true.
No, it's got to be at least 3 weeks.
No, I doubt it.
Someone I haven't listened to this,
I'm sure.
Right now.
Yeah, we'll fact check.
It's time to go to the archives.
But yeah, she does. It's true. That is a truism.
It is a truism.
I'm quite impressed. Yeah.
It is a truism.
This one was a little slick.
Yeah, so it's all about, you know what?
Yeah, I did do that one.
It's all about football.
It is.
And it's all about those Texas Aggie boys right now.
I guess.
Yep, because that's what we're listening to right now.
Oh, okay.
From Best Little Whorehouse.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
We're gonna womp and stomp.
But it could be the Longhorns, too. It's both of them, really.
No,
it's the Aggies because they win.
It's all the Aggies.
No.
You could argue that. Beforehand, though, I'm just saying.
It could have been whoever won.
Austin Aggs are arguing they were just there a second ago.
Just so we know, the song is the Aggie song.
Yes, the song is.
But thank you guys for joining us back here. And let's just two-step on out of this place. See you later.
Right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Where history